into our workplace, into our church life. Thank you for our Rhema word. Thank you for the revealed word of God. Father, we just know that one word from heaven is enough to change our whole situation, our whole plan and purpose for life. Father, we are seeking that word even tonight. We are seeking for you to drop that word into our spirit, into our inner man, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God is still faithful and He's still good.
Amen.
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 So today I was reading something that I had not seen before in the Bible. Do you know that the Bible speaks about cannibalism in Corinthians? None of you read it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:1. You didn't get that one. 2 Corinthians 8:1.
Oh, 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 oh.
I thought he was almost getting that.
I'm sorry. Don't wait.
So, is there any of you from Uganda? I can tell you again a joke. Okay. So this was during the days of Idi Amin. And I don't think anybody was really happy for him. So there was a local man. He was a pub owner. And he had this pub in town, in Kampala. And one day Idi Amin soldiers, they came to the pub. And the pub owner, he had taught his parrot to say a few sentences. So the parrot, when he looked at it and he just gave a signal to it, it would say, down with Idi Amin, down with Idi Amin, down with Idi Amin. So, and it used to be like the joke in the pub when people came to enjoy the evening and they were laughing at this parrot, because that is what they all wanted, Idi Amin to go down and disappear. So then one night these soldiers, they came and suddenly the parrot spoke, and this guy, he became really, really frightened, because it could be the end of his life if they were offended by it, which they were. So the soldier walked up to the man who was owning the pub and said, tomorrow I'll come back with your general and that will be the end of your life. And you see, that's a good time to start to seek God. You know, you die tomorrow, then you better go and see the priest. So this man who had this pub, he decided he wanted to go to visit the priest. And when he came to the priest, he explained his problem to him. He said, tomorrow I'm probably dead. When they hear that my parrot, and I have trained the parrot to say, down with Idi Amin, they'll kill me. And tomorrow the general is coming, so this is the last day. What should I do? So the priest, he was not very godly, but he said, this is your lucky day, because I have a parrot exactly like yours. Let us just shift the parrots for tomorrow. So when the soldiers and the general come, you have my parrot, and I'll keep your parrot. It's a good idea. So they came next day, the soldier walks up, looks the parrot directly into the face and says, down with Yamin, and wants the parrot to repeat it. But the parrot is just silent. And the parrot says nothing at all. So now the soldier is getting a little problem with the general, because he has come there to see what this parrot is saying, and now the parrot is just silent. So the soldier don't know what to do, so he starts to scream into the face of this parrot, down with Yamin! Down with Yamin! And silence. So he ended up him kicking the floor and hammering, down with it, Yemin, and still silent. So he tries harder, down with it, Yemin, and suddenly the parrot speaks, Lord, hear his crown. So we all try it, my dear. We all do your more. It was in the Scandinavian countries where our brother there is looking for the Swedish. And you know, Swedish and Norwegian people, and also a little Danes, but we love to have tent meetings, revival tent meetings in the summer, at least a few years back. So this was like a Norwegian tent evangelist. So he decided he would go to this remote place near the village, and there he wanted to have to start a revival with his tent. So he went out there to set up his tent and prepare. So he came early, he put up his tent here, a big tent for the meeting, and then there was like a lake on this side, and then he put his small tent on this side of the tent. So his tent, the big tent, and the lake. So he finished the work of putting up the revival tent and was ready for the evening. So he decided that he would have a wash because it was a hot day and he was sweating. So he jumped into the lake and he had a fantastic time there. So he totally forgot time. And then suddenly he heard some women that came to the tent, the revival tent, and they decided to come early to pray for breakthrough for these revival. And there was probably only about 1 hour until the big meeting would start, and people there would start to come from the village. And he's got this problem. He's in the lake, and he's totally naked. And his clothes is in his small tent. And there's only one way to get to the small tent, that is through the big tent. That is the way he set it up. So now, time is running, and he don't know what to do. So he's praying to God, God, help me now. So then these ladies, they were really prayer warriors. So they just got lost in the spirit and they prayed and they were closing their eyes, they were screaming, they were shouting. And then when they were really going for the prayer, he decided just to run through the tent. Full power, full speed. So he came through. Praise God, they didn't see anything. So he was so happy. Got dressed up, the meeting was ready to start. And he was leading the meeting, you know, he was the revivalist, so he was leading the meeting, he was doing the worship, he was doing the preaching, he was setting up the tent, he was doing everything. So he says, this is a fantastic time, and we believe that we will have great breakthroughs and a great revival in this remote area. We believe many families, they will be born again and come to the Lord. So, is there any of you who has seen and heard something special, like our brother asked that, if you heard anything through the worship? Then one of the ladies said, yes, we came early, and we believe this is going to be the most fantastic breakthrough that we have ever seen. Because when we came and we were really praying, we have never been so deep in the Spirit. And as we were deep in the Spirit and praying for revival and breakthrough, we saw the devil ran away and disappeared. So we believe that we will have breakthrough. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 28. So we read 28, Exodus chapter 28 and verse 2. So we've talked about the vision. We've talked about following the river, the four streams, the rivers of living water that is inside of our lives. Amen. And I just want to continue to share something different here tonight. I want to share about something that is deep in all of us, that is very important if we're going to build something powerful. If you want to really, really succeed in life, this is very important. I believe everyone that is here, we want to succeed in life. We want to live life that has purpose and full of meaning and full of joy and full of happiness. So let us read here, and it goes a little with what we were talking about today, also what Paul, he was teaching about the forgiveness of sins, the new identity and new nature, the free righteousness, the authority, and the purpose of life. So here we have in Exodus chapter 28, God is telling Moses how he should make the clothes for the priest Aaron. And we also know heard today that priest means to draw near to God. Amen? We draw near to God, not because of our own effort, but we can draw near to God at any time because of the effort of Jesus Christ. Amen? So here it says in verse 2, if we can read that, make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. What was it that gave him dignity and honor? It was the garment. And God wants to give each one of us garment. That is why we are clothed in His righteousness. Amen? Because He wants you and I to have dignity. And He wants you and I to have honor. We can also paraphrase and say it in this way, so that you might feel good about yourself. Many people in our world, they are not having a good feeling about themselves. That's why they do many strange things. Many people in our churches, they don't feel good about themselves, and that's why they do strange things. But God wants to clothe you. God wants to forgive your sins. God wants to give you a new nature. He wants to give you the garment of righteousness so you can feel good about yourself. So if you don't feel good about yourself, and I know many Christians, they don't feel good about themselves, they do that in secret. But God wants to deal with that thing in our life so that you can feel good about yourself. So that every morning you look yourself in the mirror and say, wow, it's a great man. If you cannot do that, you probably have a problem. If you cannot look at yourself and say, wow, it's a great woman. God wants to deal with you. God wants to do something in you because He wants you to be satisfied being you. Yes. You're not called and you're not supposed to be someone else because God created you to be you. Yes. And you are created in His image. You are His son and you are His daughter. So God wants to give you something to clothe you in, to give you honor and to give you dignity. Praise God. And many, many people and even many Christians, we seek this honor and we seek this dignity in the wrong places. And many times, unconscious, we compensate for the lack of feeling dignity and honor. We compensate from other things that will not really satisfy you, that will not give you the real dignity, that will not give you the real honor. If we go to Exodus chapter 40, we read again when they were getting this priest ready to serve in the temple. And it says in chapter 40, verse 12 and verse 13, and remember, you are a priest. Peter says that we are a royal priesthood. We are believers. Every believer is a priest. You have access before the throne of God at any time. But we have heard so much of this, the man of God thing, that we're almost like the Catholics. We need someone, a middleman, someone to go between. But you have access to God yourself.
Amen.
At any time.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
You don't need me to come before God. You don't need Adam to go before God. You can go before God as His son and His daughter.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, we can have a function, but our function is not to be your middleman. Our function is to point you that way. Hey, go yourself. You don't even need me to pray for you.
That's right.
He'll answer your prayers. So let's read these two verses here. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. What are we talking about this morning? We are talking about these doctrines. Washing with water. Baptism, wash him with water. Forgive his sins. Make him as clean as snow. Amen. Wash him. That was the first thing. What was the next thing? Clothe him. Is that true? Dress him in the sacred garments. Hallelujah. You see, the doctrines in the Old Testament correspond with what Paul is teaching. Wash him. Let him, his sins be forgiven. Let him be buried in Christ and resurrected to a whole new life. The old has passed away. Something new has begun. Let's give him a new identity. Let us give him a new nature. And then let us dress him with the robe of free righteousness so he has access into the Holy of Holies, into the tent of meeting. All these things is not our own effort. All these things are given to us by simple faith. The only thing you and I can do is to say, thank you, Jesus, that you have washed me. You have given me a new nature. And you have given me a new robe that I can feel good about myself. That I can be happy for being me. Amen. What was the next thing? Anointing. Anointing for service. Give him the authority. Give him the power. The anointing breaks the yoke. Every yoke. Nothing will be able to withstand him. Anointing. Consecrate him. That means let it be holy. See, holiness is not something that you and I we try to be by efforts. Something, holiness is something that you have become. It is a gift that God has given you, and we are required to walk in holiness. Amen. So he may serve as a priest, give him destiny and purpose in life. Praise God. Praise God. I want to talk to you a little about a few things here. How many of you want to be accepted? I do. People there do the most crazy things to be accepted. But the truth is, you are already accepted. When you're born again, you already became accepted by Jesus Christ. So people don't do many things to feel accepted. Let's just take the example of Peter in the Bible. We saw you together with him. No. Yeah, but you're one of the disciples. No. And we know the story. In the end, he was cursing and saying bad words, denying his best friend Jesus. For what? Being accepted by a woman. So what are we doing to be accepted? We are already accepted. And if we look at the life of Peter, he continued to struggle with this weakness in life, that we want to be accepted by people. It is so important that we go before God and we realize and we receive Christ has accepted me. I don't need to do anything to be accepted. I don't need to satisfy you to be accepted. I don't need to jump to be accepted. I don't need to speak to be accepted. I don't even need to be a pastor to be accepted. I don't need my job to feel accepted. I am accepted.
Yes.
For what reason? He paid the price for my acceptance.
Yes.
You remember, I think it's in Galatians, Paul, he's saying, and then I stood up in his open face. What was Peter doing? He's compromising to feel good about himself. He was compromising to be accepted by the Jews when he should have been standing up for the truth. No matter what it cost, he wanted the accept of people. And Paul says, I had to confront him in his open face. You're not walking according to the scripture, to the word of God, to the revelation that we have. Peter, don't go that way. Peter, don't try to be accepted because of what you do. You are accepted for who you are. Amen.
Amen.
If we could get that thing real in our life as Christians, we'll be fine down the road. Many people, they are also looking for do you want to feel secure? I do. I have that need in my life to feel secure. But it's not things on the outside that makes me feel secure. It is something inside that makes me feel secure. Amen? People, they have insurances. I'm not against insurance. I have insurance myself. But that is not what makes me feel secure. Christ is my insurance. We save up, we have, you know, gods around, and all these things. It is because we have a deep sense of insecurity in our life. But God wants you and I to get hold of Jesus Christ and get Him to satisfy this deep need for security in our lives. Amen? Remember in the book of Luke chapter 12, we cannot read that, let's say, there was this rich farmer who decided for himself, I want to build some more barns. I want to build my storehouses bigger. And then, when I feel really secure, I'll enjoy life. So he built them bigger. He got a bigger harvest in. Next year he built them bigger. He got the big harvest in. And he always needed more to feel secure. He was never really satisfied. He was not really feeling that he had enough security to live his life. And then he died. For what reason did he do all these things? God wants you and I to have that security in God. Amen. We don't want to be like that. Self-esteem. Is that the true means?
Yeah.
Self-esteem. I want to feel good about myself. I want to feel that I'm worth something. Do you have that feeling? I have that feeling. It is something that God has put in us. There's nothing wrong in it. But there is two different sources that we can get that need for self-esteem satisfied. Let us look at a man in the Bible called, I don't know how to pronounce it in English, Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus.
Yeah? It's in Luke chapter 19 verse 1 to 9. So you see, this little fellow, he did not have much self-esteem. When they picked the basketball team, he was always the last one to be picked. So what do you do when your self-esteem is just getting lower and lower? You want to compensate. Is that true?
Yeah.
You want to find something else that you're good at. When the teacher in school said, Zacchaeus, stand up, he said, I'm already standing. And you can see, he was always the last one to be picked. He was always the one that the others they made jokes of. He was always the one that they laughed at. And it broke something in him. So he decided, I want to be rich. No matter how much it would cost, I want to be rich. I want to make it so I can have a good feeling about myself. I want to educate as a tax collector, because I know that is where the money is. And if I cannot get them legal, I'll get them anyway. Amen? You know that deep longing that we all have in us, maybe we're not experienced the same as Zacchaeus. But we have all tried to compensate for something that is lacking in our life. So he became more and more rich. He became more and more wealthy. And what he felt, and what he thought would be a great benefit for him, and what would attract other people to him, actually did the opposite. They hated him even more. Nobody wanted to be around him. Nobody wanted to fellowship with him. Only when he bought them with money. So his self-esteem, his deep need for self-esteem was still not satisfied. No matter how rich he became, no matter how much he tried to satisfy himself with the money that he had. But one day he heard about Jesus. The problem was that he was still small of stature. What do? You climb a tree. And when he was up in the tree, he could see Jesus. Because he had heard something. This is a real man. This man, he forgives sins. This man, he gives and restores hope to people. I want to meet him. I want to see him. I want to touch him. I want to invite him to my house if possible. So Jesus, he saw him. And he said, today, I want to come and visit you. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. He could also have said, today, Zacchaeus shifted from satisfying himself with his money, with his job, and he shifted to satisfy himself with me visiting his house. And God wants you and I to make that shift too. You and I as believers, we cannot satisfy ourselves with our things, with our materialism, with what we can do, with our education, with our money. We need to be satisfied with Jesus Christ and what he has done. If we seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will come to us. Amen? I'm not a businessman, but I know when there's a good deal around. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be given to you for free. Why in the world do we as Christians seek all these things first then?
Yes.
We don't really believe the Bible. But you see a man that is standing here. I am a proof that the Bible is true. From the day I was born again, my wife and myself, when we married, we decided we want to give it all in the kingdom. And we cannot keep the blessings away. And it's not because I have a big salary. It is not because I am a smart guy. It is because the word of God is true. Seek first the kingdom.
Amen.
And all these things, they are heading in one direction. Yeah, but I have to realize myself. I need to get this job. I need to get this education. Have you ever spoken with God what he wants? Yeah, but my parents, they thought it was a good idea. Yeah, but how about God? What does he think? What will satisfy him? Today salvation has come to this house, Jesus said.
Yeah.
How do we know that salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus? Because he did not hold on to what he had anymore. He said, I'll give a lot of my money away, I think it was half of it. And if I've cheated somehow, I'll give them a lot more back. Because that is not what is satisfying me anymore. I've met Jesus. I think I want to ride another horse. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's not too late to shift. It's not too late. I mean, Zacchaeus, he must have been living many years. But he made that shift. You and I can make that shift. I don't want to live for myself anymore. Maybe when you hear what I'm saying here, you say, hey man, I put all my money on the wrong horse. It's about time that we as Christians, we say, hey, we don't want this anymore. We want to live for Him. I am accepted by Him. My security is in Him. My self-esteem is rooted and grounded in Him. Lack of, how many wants love in life? I have a deep need to be loved. You have a deep need to be loved. Everyone has a deep need to be loved. Amen. God has created us in this way, with those deep needs. The question is, where do you try to find your love? Okay, I can try to hang my hat on my wife, and I'll get love from her. But the real love that I really need and is longing for is only God who can give that kind of love. There's a woman in the Bible, John chapter 4, the woman at the well. I mean, this woman, when she came to the well, it says it was at the sixth hour. The sixth hour is in the middle of the day. It is the hottest time of the day. She knew, if I go there on the sixth hour, nobody else will be there. I'm so disappointed. I have no self-esteem. I'm not safe anywhere, because the other woman, the women, they will mock me, they will harass me, and they will speak against me. I don't want to go there when they go there in the morning and in the evening. I'll go in the middle of the day. Because I'm not accepted. I'm outside. And the love that I was seeking all my life has failed. You see, she had hopes and she had dreams like most people they have. And one day she was going to marry. And she found the prince on the white horse. And this prince on the white horse, he showed up. He was not a prince. And he was not riding on a white horse. He was an evil man. He slept with other women. He was not faithful to this woman. And one day he said, after two or three kids, I've had enough. You're not taking care of me. I found someone else prettier than you. Goodbye. But she still had this deep longing in her heart to be loved. So she went out on the market again and found another one. Number two. And our world and our society are full of men and women. They're hardening out of one relationship before they enter the next.
Yeah.
And they'll be as discouraged in that relationship as they were in the last one. Because what they're looking for, no human being can satisfy.
That's right.
So she found number two. And he was gambling all the money away. And one day he decided, I'm just tired of you always blaming me for not providing for the family. I'm leaving. She said, oh, it's great to be alone. Until next month, she found number three. She found number four. And she found number five. The first four she decided to marry. But now, she just thought, they're using me. I'll just start using them. I don't even want to marry anymore because this man, he's also leaving. You know the story from our society. We are the hook of the world.
Amen.
The church is the only place where we can show people where they can get real love. Go and get your husband.
I have no husband.
And then he shares one of the deepest revelations in the Bible with this woman. He's not even condemning her. Because what she has done, out of an honest heart, she was seeking love. And God knows you and I, when we are honestly seeking acceptance, security, self-esteem, and love. And he wants to reveal himself for you and me and satisfy that deep need. So he revealed to her, the true worshippers shall worship me in spirit and in truth. It was to her. And when we worship him in spirit and in truth, love is poured out in our hearts. And she became a great witness for God. Come and meet a man who has told me everything I have done. And he did not condemn me, but he just loved me. That is your Christ. That is my Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He can satisfy the deepest needs in our lives. If we can help people in these areas, I believe that we will see many people's lives radically changed. If we can help them to make these moves from these things and satisfy themselves with the things of the world and help them to move to get satisfied by Christ. Have you ever noticed, no matter how ugly a rich man looks, he'll always have a beautiful wife. I don't know if you ever noticed. If you see any magazine or paper, see, no matter how bad this guy looks, if he's got money, she looks good. Okay, maybe we cannot say these things in church, but the society and the world says, if you're really beautiful, we will love you. If you have a good education, we will love you. If you're from a great family, we will love you. Is it true?
Yes.
That's how society works.
Yes.
If I'm not looking really beautiful, I can always take a high profile education and they will accept me.
Yeah.
Do we need to be satisfied by the things of the world? If I have the right education, I will be safe. I'm traveling a great part in Kenya. I mean, they are crazy about education. Everything they talk about is education. Get my children to school. And I can understand it. But for me, it's more important that they really get to know Christ. Even for some of those who are Christians down there, it's more important that their children, they get education, that they walk with God. That is not right. That is not the truth. That is not the Bible. God will give us all these things in addition, but that is not the real thing. Amen? That is not the real thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe that you've probably heard this verse many times. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The one who did not know of sin, God made him sin, so we could become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus obeyed all of the law on my behalf. Jesus obeyed all of the law on your behalf. He paid the price on my behalf. He did not know of sin, but God put my sin on him, and I became, and I was clothed in his righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if my sins are forgiven, I'm not a sinner anymore. If I have a new nature that is from God, I have the nature of God. Amen. Not because of what I have done, but because of what he did for me. I have been clothed in his gift of free righteousness, not because of what I have done, but because of what he has done. He has put that garment on me so I can have access into the tent of meeting, as we were reading before. I think it's fantastic. That means if, as Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it says, if I can obey, it will be counted unto me righteousness. So 100% obedience, what is that? That is being perfect. And being perfect means that you are whole. Not because of my own effort, but because of his effort on my behalf. So, if I am perfect, will I have a problem being accepted?
No.
If I'm whole and 100% obedient, will I have any problem feeling security?
No.
If I am a perfect man, will I have problem with my self-esteem?
No.
If I have obeyed the law through Jesus Christ 100% and I'm 100% obedient, means perfect, will I have no problem receiving the love of God? No. Jesus had no problem being accepted. He had no problem feeling security. He had no problem with self-esteem. He had no problem with love. He's my big problem. He's your big problem. I'm like him in this world, the Bible says. The last thing I want to say something about is purpose. The meaning of why I am here. And I would like to show you some verses from Philippians chapter 3. We were there before today. But I want to read something for you, which I think is one of the greatest statements in the Bible. What Paul is saying here, he's actually saying, I'm satisfied with myself, no matter what. Let us just read it. Is there someone who can you put it up? Philippians chapter 3, and we read from the middle of verse 4. If anyone else think he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, it's me, says Paul. I have a lot of things I could brag about. I have more. Next verse. Though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone else think he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I'm circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, I have many things that could make me feel good. I am a scribe. I'm a student of the law. I'm a teacher of the law. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone Everyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh. I have more.
Okay, we have
six. As for zeal and persecution, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness and faultless. Legalistic righteousness. That is a righteousness that is earned by my own effort. What I can do. What I can achieve. I have been persecuting the church. I have a great passion. I have a lot of things that I could show off with. Let's continue. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I cannot use it to anything. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. All the things that I put my trust in before, it's worth nothing, Paul says. I don't need them to feel good about myself. I have met the man who makes me feel good about myself. I don't need righteousness by my own effort. I don't need to do good deeds anymore. I don't need to pull myself together. I don't need to work hard to get his acceptance. I am accepted. I count all these things for rubbish. It's worth nothing. Rubbish is worth nothing. I think actually the correct translation is shit. That's what Paul says. It is in the category of shit. It's worthless. He's strong and he's passionate about it. Don't live your life gaining these things from other things than Christ. That is what he's saying. And I want to be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law by me doing and doing and doing, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. The only thing that I want to be associated with is what Christ did for me.
Yeah.
I receive. That's what I'm saying. Is it wrong to be rich? No. It's probably a great blessing to be rich. I know poor people, they think more about money than the rich people. But that is not going to satisfy you and me. Is there anything wrong in having a good education? No! Education is good. Education is a blessing. I encourage all young people to take an education, but do one thing. Ask God. What is the purpose of my life? Don't leave him out of the equation. Put him in. A great friend of mine, he's living in Zurich. I told this story
forgot your name now.
Adam. I've told this story. He's about Adam's age, I think, actually, he's older, 75. He was raised and born in Serbia during the Second World War. So when the Germans, they lost the war, and he was from German ancestors, they were kicked out of the country of Serbia, and they became refugees up until the mid-50s. So they were living in Austria for many, many years. And then the Canadian government allowed them to go to Canada. So in Canada, he started to study. And there he also met Jesus Christ. I think it was in Canada. So he met Jesus Christ, and he was doing very well in his study. And he was a young man. So the principal calls him into the office of the university and offers him a scholarship worth a lot of money for a refugee. And God speaks to his heart, that is not my will for your life. I'm sending you to the mission field of Argentina. And off he goes. It'd be a little difficult for parents to understand. Maybe I'm a parent myself, but I want my children to follow God. He's been one of the biggest German-speaking churches in Europe, in the city of Zurich in Switzerland. I think there are around 3,000 people worshiping there. That's a great testimony of a man who said, okay, I count all these things for nothing. I want to know him. Amen.
Amen.
If we can, as a church, tune in our heart and say, I want to get these needs in my life satisfied only by Christ. I'm giving up the other things. There's nothing that we can do. That is how they shaped the whole Roman Empire. Don't use these other things to feel good about yourself. Let God help you to feel good about yourself. When they said, worship Caesar, they said, no, we only worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We don't need your acceptance. We'll be obedient. We'll be good citizens of the land. But we have one Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. We'll take your job away. God is my provider. There might come a day when we have to say these things. We hope it will never be the case, but it might come. They had to face it. My provider is not your job. My provider is the Lord. That's what they said. I mean, people with that understanding, would you ever be able to bribe them? No. Because they don't need your money. They don't need your acceptance. We'll take your citizenship away. So what? My citizenship is of heaven. Then we'll take your life in the arena. Hey, death for me is a gain. What do you do with that kind of people? They took over the whole empire. The more they killed, the more they became. The more they persecuted them, the more they became, because they had a purpose to live. Amen. Let's just stand on our feet. So maybe you are standing here tonight and you're thinking, wow, I've been satisfying myself with the wrong things. This is your time. This is your evening. This is your day. This is your day to say, like Paul, I count all these things and I lay them before you, Lord. All the things that meant so much to me, I'm giving it to you. I'm surrendering my life to you, my destiny, my future, my family, I'm giving it to you. Amen.
Amen.
And if you have it like that, I think if you could maybe pray to keep on. If you have it like that, I think there'll be a number of us we can pray together with. This is actually Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things that will come to you in addition. Father, forgive us. that we have been seeking in other things. When you want to give it to us for free. Forgive us when we have tried to satisfy our own deep needs with things, with people, with money, with education. Compensate what only you can give. Father, we don't want copies. We want a real form. Father, thank you that you speak to our hearts in this evening. Thank you that you speak to individuals. I just want to say that you should not feel ashamed. You should be proud of making this shift in life. Hallelujah. Just come forward. Like this woman and her well, she came. She opened up her heart to Jesus Christ. Her life was totally changed. You don't have to explain to me your decision. You go before God, and as an act of faith, you just take a step forward and say, here am I. I'm your servant. I know there's a number of people in here who need to make those decisions. Do not think what will other people say. Do not think what will my husband say. What will my wife say? What will my children say? What will God say? You say, son, daughter, well done. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't do it for me, do it for yourself.